And if you will, can you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8. And we're going to look there at the issues of the adoption that we have. And it's no wonder why at this point here, Paul has given us the doctrine of the Father unto a son and daughter in Christ. Right at the same time, he's given you the doctrine of the sufferings of this present time. Because you have to know that the son and daughter in Christ is to respond to the sufferings of this present time the way the Father has designed that you respond to him, not the way that this world designed that you respond to the sufferings of this present time. See, the sufferings of this present time affects the son and daughter in Christ differently than it affects the people of this world, the ones that are given over to this world system. And we're going to go over this particular doctrine about how we are to look upon the sufferings of this present time. And with that, can you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8 again, and let's look at verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and of children, then heirs, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And again, we've been looking at these verses here because, these are vital verses in understanding of the adoption of the Father and about our crying, Abba, Father, and the things that we're going to face in this present evil world because you are sons and daughters in Christ, and you are to live on to the Father or want to live on to the Father the way he designed and have his thinking concerning the sufferings of this present time, have his emotion regarding the sufferings of this present time, understanding the way he views you suffering in this present dispensation of Gentile grace. And one thing we're going to come to understand is how we ought to view things the way our Father viewed things that we face in this present dispensation of Gentile grace. Now with that, come over to 1 Timothy, and actually 2 Timothy, and we looked at this last week, and I just want to go back over this. This was the last verses we looked at last week, and I want to go back over them because this is going to pick back up where we were looking at how we are to gain that same type of understanding that Paul had. What we can do as Paul says and be persuaded and understand that we are more than a conqueror in what we face today. And how we can have that same type of understanding that Paul had when Paul says that I am exceeding joyful in all my tribulations. Not just joyful, but exceeding. That's exceeding it. That's not exceedingly, but exceeding joyful in all my tribulations. Well, let's 2 Timothy, let's look at chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let's go to verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came at me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, there's a lot in this verse here. Paul is saying at the outset, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Paul is acting as an example onto Timothy, whereas Timothy can use Paul as a consolation. And we're going to see that over in 2 Corinthians about the consolation that, and we're going to go over that. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. In his sufferings. And Paul, what Timothy is doing, Timothy is looking upon Paul as being an example, an example. And as he said here, he said, all those things Paul went through. And we know, now I know this is the sufferings of Christ. This is not the sufferings of this present time. But also, before you fully understand the sufferings of this present time, I mean the sufferings of Christ, you have to understand the sufferings of this present time first and foremost. But look at what Paul says here. He says, what persecution, in verse 11, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And Paul, we know Paul wasn't delivered from the physical sufferings, because he said persecutions and afflictions which came unto me. Paul wasn't shielded from these things, but his inner man was delivered. And what Paul is saying here, Paul is saying, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But notice what he says next. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, what does that have to do with the suffering, persecution, and him enduring these things? He's not just calling these men evil men and seducers because they were giving him persecutions and afflictions, physical afflictions and things of that nature. They were coming in with a doctrine. They were coming in with a doctrine to tell them to live their sanctified life in a different means, in a different method, that when they do go through things, that it's to be handled and thought of in a different way. Or that they thought they were too good, where they were to avoid those sufferings. And this is what Paul is saying here, because the next verse, verse 14, Paul says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast what? Learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He's speaking of the whole issue of what he learned, and he says here in verse 10, but thou hast fully known my what? My doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. All those things Paul used while he went through those things that he endured. And that's what we also need to do when we go through the things of this present time. Looking at the doctrine that we've been given by our apostle Paul. Not the doctrine given to us by this world, that this world will tell you that, hey, put it in God's hands. He must have a plan. He must have a plan. God's doing something. He's testing you, or these different doctrines that this evil world gives onto us. It sounds good, though, but it's not what we've been taught, what we should learn. It's not the manner of life and purpose and faith that Paul displayed, the charity and patience. What this world teaches, this church world teaches concerning what you face today is not what our Father teaches us according to his will. When a loved one leaves this earth, or if we're suffering, commonly taught is, again, well, God must have a greater plan. They won't tell you what it is because they don't know it themselves, but they keep you guessing. Sounds good. They feel that they use that as comfort to your soul. to say, well, he's in a better place, or well, he lived a good godly life, or whatever the situation is. But over the next few weeks, could be a few months, we're going to be going over the issue of the sufferings, and we're going to look at the next few weeks the issue of suffering and death and how we ought to view things when we ourselves suffer, or when and if our loved ones suffer, or when we face death ourselves, or if our loved ones are facing death, or if they had left this earth, and how we ought to view these things. We're going to be going over that in the next few weeks, but it's vital to go over this issue first, because this is the way Paul lays it out here. But the issue here is, Paul says in verse 14, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. And he's saying, learned of me, and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He's saying, don't learn it from the evil men and seducers, who's waxing worse and worse, deceiving. That's what he's not saying, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, persecuting and giving you afflictions. He's not telling you to look out for those guys. He's telling you to look out for the bad doctrine. That's going to be something to get you off track, get you to go along with their way of thinking about the sufferings of this present time. Now let's come over to Philippians. Again, Philippians, we looked at that last week also. And over in Timothy, Paul says, learned them. Something that he learned, Timothy learned, and we ought to learn also. Philippians chapter 4. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, and let's look at verse, let's just come right to the point. Let's go to verse 11. Philippians 4, verse 11. Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Now, oftentimes you see this verse used all around. People have tattoos on themselves. They have posters. They have this over their church mantle. Many things. I'm talking about verse 13. Not the other verses, but verse 13. Verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. And they think by that, what that's saying there is, whatever they do in this world, it's going to turn, whatever they touch is going to turn to gold. And Christ is behind them. And Christ is that they are God's anointed. And God is actually going to make sure that they do whatever they want to in this life to the fullest. That's not what that verse is talking about at all. Verse 11, Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want. Paul says, for I have learned. There's something crucial Paul has learned. Paul says, this is what he's learned. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul says, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. Paul says, whatever the situation, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where he is. It doesn't matter what the thing. He said, in all things, I am instructed both. He's instructed both to be full and hungry, both to abound and suffer need. See, Paul knew God's thinking concerning suffering need. He knew God's thinking concerning when he did abound. He knew God's understanding when he was full. He knew God's understanding when he was hungry. He knew the thinking of the Father and had the mind of Christ to understand that when he is full, he should rejoice just as if he was hungry. Or when he was hungry, just as he would if he was full. Because there was a contentment that he learned, as in verse 11 says, and he's instructed, as verse 12 says. And this is an understanding that Paul has, that it's important and vital that we understand and appreciate the selfless, and not selfish, but the selfless attitude that Paul displayed when he was, you know, the idea that he was content, regardless what was going on around him at that time. And we know at this time Paul was in prison, in the Mannheim prison, and he was writing to say that he's content, regardless what state he was in. Whatever he was in, he was content. And he didn't have people with picket signs out saying, "Free Paul, free the Apostle Paul." Paul didn't ask for the saints to petition that he became free. And now let's go over to 2 Corinthians. And we're looking at what Paul says. Paul says, "In everywhere and all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry." Paul knew whatever was around him, he knew it was a greater purpose. And the greater purpose didn't concern himself. He was just an earthen vessel. He was an earthen vessel containing the doctrine of the Father to write unto us to be our apostle, our preacher, in all things, and our teacher. Let's go to 2 Corinthians and let's look at chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you." And Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Well, that's not the way this world teaches it. This world teaches that the treasure you have in your earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power should be of you. But of course, we give God glory. And this is what they think this and teach this because they teach you that you're not to go through these things. And you're going to be delivered from these things physically. But that's not what this verse is teaching. Paul says we are troubled on every side. That, again, when Paul said in Philippians, he says, I know how to be abased and to abound everywhere and in all things I am instructed. That's what this is. Paul says, even though he's troubled on every side, that's every side, yet he's not stressed. Well, most would be. Most would be stressed out their mind. Most would not know where to turn. We are perplexed, but yet not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Doesn't that seem as though Paul is content? That Paul has a different way of thinking? Paul, the type of thinking that Paul has, that we ought to also have ourselves, is that Paul knew how to view himself. Paul knew and looked upon himself as no better than anyone else. That was his selfless attitude that Paul displayed, that when you see verse 7, it says that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And when we get that understanding, that the excellency of the power should be of God and not of us, and when we take the back seat in understanding what the bigger plan is. The bigger plan is for your inner man, folks. The bigger plan is for your inner man that's going to receive the glory, the praise, and the honor. Your inner man is going to be the one, is the one that God can use. Because when you get to heavenly places, that's the one that's going to be there with the Father. And it's never been about our outer man. It's only been about our outer man concerning this world and Satan. And that's why you look at verse 10, it says, always bearing about in the body. Not about the body, but in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made of manifest where? In our body. For we which live, that's talking about functional life. It's not talking about the ones living after this world, because then they're going to think you're a fool if you said you're all the way delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That's not going to make any sense to them. But it says, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh, not by our mortal flesh. So death worketh where? In us, but life in you. Now come over to 1 Thessalonians. Come over to 1 Thessalonians, and let's look at chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 1. Verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass. And ye know, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you all in our affliction and distress by your faith. See, this is very, very vital to understand this doctrine here, and there's so much in these seven verses that I can expound on. But Paul's saying here, he's saying that he sent Timothy onto the Thessalonians. He wanted to understand where their faith was and if they were still, because they were going through sufferings. And he did not want to see these Thessalonians end up like the Galatians, who were going after the bad doctrine, or the Corinthians, who didn't want the sufferings of the Christ, and they were handling the sufferings of this present time the wrong way. They didn't want to deal with them, even though they were going through them, but they had an improper understanding about it. So Paul is saying here that he sent Timothy to establish them and comfort them concerning their faith. And he said, verse 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. Now, I'm going to stop there, because most people, the natural man, is moved by those type of afflictions. But Paul says, for ye yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Well, how did they know this? Paul taught them. It's something they learned. It's something that they were assured of, that they were, as Paul told, said earlier, the Philippians, that they were assured of those things. And he says, ye yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. And he says, verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. And that's what he said. He said, we told them that, even as it came to pass. And you know. So Paul sent Timothy to know their faith. Well, Paul is saying know their faith. That's something that they were faithful, understanding. Their faith stood by the idea that when they suffered tribulation, that it wasn't God testing them, that it wasn't something that this is something that because they weren't doing what God requires them to do. They knew this was something that was common to all mankind, that all mankind was going through the sufferings of this present time. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together at that time, and even until now, as Paul says. But they had their faith stood in the proper understanding. As Paul says, he thought the tempter could have came in. And that tempter is this world system in thinking about the sufferings of this present time and the sufferings of Christ. That's what Paul means when Paul says the tempter. And we see the same thing over there. We don't have to go there. I know you understand. You know the verse over there in 1 Corinthians when Paul talks about that, how Israel was tempted, and that we also not be tempted of this world. That there's no temptation that's taking you as such common to man. Just talking about the temptations of this world. And as Paul says here, he says, for this cause I can no longer forbear. I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Now, how that could have happened is, if when Timothy came to him, if they just threw in the towel and them guys gave up on their educating, they gave up on their being edified. They did not want to take a stand and go through the afflictions that they faced. They knew that they were appointed there onto, that they were going to suffer tribulation. And look what Paul says in verse 7. He says, well, actually, verse 6, he said, but when Timotheus came from you onto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that he have good remembrance of us always. Paul says, Timothy came on, it was good tidings. It was good to Paul's ear and to the Father that they were standing their ground. They were standing in what they had been taught by the Father's doctrine about the sufferings of this present time and the sufferings of Christ. Not only did their faith abound, but they had charity. Love. They were still being charitable. They were still being long-suffering and having patience because they had a good remembrance of Paul and the apostles always. And that's what we need to do also. Remember the doctrine. Let the doctrine work effectually within us. And he says, therefore, in verse 7, therefore, brethren, we are comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. Now, these Thessalonians are being a consolation unto Paul. When Paul is comforted, because he knows he's comforted by their faith, how they are being, allowing God's word to work effectually within them. Paul can rejoice in that. When Paul goes through things, he can say, man, those, I'm not alone. That these saints, the Thessalonians, are also partaking in these things and rejoicing. It would cause, as 2 Corinthians say, a consolation. And let's go over there, matter of fact. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, and let's look at verse 1. And this is the whole issue of knowing God as the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians, and let's look at chapter 1. Let's come down to verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now you see, this is the same thing we just read with Paul saying how he was comforted because he heard the faith of the Thessalonians. And verse 4 says, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And only way to know the God of all comfort is you have to need him as the God of all comfort. Meaning you're going to go through these things. It says, in all our tribulation. It's not saying some of your tribulation or the worst tribulation, or maybe the ones you pray to God that it don't be so, and then he helps, and you feel that he helps you out of those things. When the unsaved man can get helped out of those things also. And what I mean by helped out of them is that thinking that we have that we're avoiding these things. And if a tsunami hit over in one part of the world or a hurricane hit in the other part, it's not God being mad at these people or these people being a sinful nation or anything else. See, we got to understand about this type of comfort and this type of salvation from these type of sufferings. But see, this type of thing, we're supposed to be fully equipped to fully understand and appreciate that salvation and comfort. And when I say salvation, we're going to read down and see that means being saved from the troubling effect of those sufferings. There is salvation found in God's word. And let's come down to verse 5. And this is what a son and daughter in Christ ought to understand. You have to understand these crucial doctrines, but the first thing you must understand is how you view yourselves. How you view yourselves is essential in understanding this. Now, you know, hold your place there. Hold your place in 2 Corinthians. Come back to Romans chapter 12. Come back to Romans chapter 12, but hold your place there in 2 Corinthians. Look at Romans chapter 12, and let's look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, this is something that we have to think, and our minds have to be conformed, have to be transformed and renewed. But if we're conformed to this world, we're going to be thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We're going to think that, again, we're above suffering of this present time. That the sufferings of this present time ought to go past us because who we are. And because we're godly, because we're an heir of God, we feel that, hey, Why shouldn't, don't we shield our children from the sufferings of this present time? The idea is they're going to affect them anyway. The sufferings of this present time affect our children, but what we do is give them the doctrine. We tell them, well, don't go outside without your coat. It's cold. You can get ill effects. You can catch a cold. You can suffer. And that's up to them to take what we're giving them, the doctrine that we're giving them, or not. You tell them to not go out in this world and partake of it. But if they don't respond or understand or learn from your doctrine, they're going to be affected by it. But we have to view who we are and not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And that's the only way we're going to understand these things. Now I'll come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's look at verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring that the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Now, Paul is saying here, he uses that word consolation four different times there. And the idea of the consolation, you know, the way we use it today, we say when someone has problems, we console them. And we console them by us. It's something that's done while that person is going through something. It's a comforting. It's a something that we're trying to give them ease or salvation from what they're going through. And as Paul says here, he says, whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And Paul is saying when he's afflicted, it's for our consolation and salvation. And we saw that in the verses prior, that Paul said when the Thessalonians were going through things, he said he rejoiced. Paul received consolation. He was consoled when he's seen that the other saints, and that's not saying that, well, I'm glad it's not me, that they're going through things and not me. No, Paul rejoiced in their faith, that they were faithfully allowing God's word to work effectually within them. Their faith stood in that doctrine. When you place your faith in something, you trust in it. You trust that it's going to work. The Thessalonians and the Philippians trusted that that doctrine was going to work regardless what they faced. On every side, earned. Okay, I'm back. Got cut off for a second there. But again, Paul was going through the doctrines and explaining the consolation that there is in God's word. And that when we are suffering, we act as a consolation to other saints also. And that doctrine is supposed to be fully utilized within us. That's the way it's designed to work. It's designed to work in that fashion there. So we're looking at this here. Paul says in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6, he said, "It's whether we be afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer." Paul is saying, that's how it works. It's effectual. It's the effectual way in how we endure things. When we look at how Paul suffered, we look at the doctrine from Romans to Philemon given unto us, and how we're to take these doctrines and allow these doctrines to also work effectually within us. That's the way it's designed to work. It's designed to work this way because we are ones who are being educated in how we are to, as we've seen before. Paul says, "I've both learned." We are ones that are supposed to go through these things as sons and daughters in Christ, the way God designed. And Paul says, which is effectual in enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. See, Paul saw the godly value. He saw not only the godly value in himself for this, he saw the heavenly impact that it accomplished when he suffered the sufferings of Christ. See, Paul learned how to change his way of thinking about himself. He learned to change his way and renew his mind from the way this world views the afflictions that come our way. Paul knew the only way we can get to know God, the Father, in his capacity as being the God of all comfort, is that we also must be partakers of the sufferings. This is how we get to know our Father in this capacity. This is how we get to know him as the God of all comfort. And we're able to not only receive that consolation and salvation, and we're able to give it to others, just as Paul is showing us, just as our Father promised us in his word. It's about that enduring of the sufferings of this present time and the sufferings of Christ, but using God's word as being our comfort, being our salvation that we need. Now let's come down to verse 8 here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 8. "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." And see, you know, whenever we're in trouble, as Paul said there, we need to understand that deliverance that we get is the deliverance within his word. The deliverance that within his word is something that Paul learned that he can trust in. His faith stood in that. So did the Corinthians. Their faith stood in that. And as he said in verse 9, we had a sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raised the dead. And again, that's not saying when trouble comes your way. And in most times, we see people pray to have these things taken away. They don't want to go through the sufferings of this present time. And they say, "Well, yeah, I trust in God that he's going to deliver me from this. I pray to him to deliver me." But that's not the type of thinking that we ought to have. We're to trust that his word will work for us, just as we trust that he justified us onto eternal life. We don't have to keep praying that he justified us. We don't have to think that we fell out of favor with him, and we have to say, "Oh, can you justify me again? That's the same way we ought to view sufferings of this present time. You're going to go through them. As Paul says, you know of yourself, you know that you were appointed there onto the sufferings of this present time. We're all appointed onto sufferings of this present time. But it's how your understanding of these sufferings is what makes you the son and daughter in Christ that God wants you to be and conforming you to the image of his son. And again, Paul used the death of Jesus and life of Jesus in his life as consolation. That God himself gave up his only begotten son for us, and that Christ suffered. And as Paul says, he's also going to suffer. But this is what we need to understand. Let's come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's look at the doctrine we're supposed to trust in. It's that hope doctrine that we've been looking at, that we have to have a different set of eyes. We can't look upon things being about ourselves, our outer man. Now, it's about your inner man. Your inner man is the one that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is going to be shown through. The power of Christ is going to be put on display through your inner man. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's look at verse 7. And we looked at this earlier, but I just want to point something out here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And that's what I wanted to come back here, because the life also Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. And also, he says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. And what Paul used that as a consolation when he went through things. That was a consoling doctrine that Paul carried within himself. That's why he says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. He was always carrying it with him, that thinking. It was always dwelling richly within him what the Lord and Savior, the only begotten Son, went through. And he gave himself up for us, that selfless attitude, that selfless act that we also are to look upon. And even when Paul despaired even of his life, his attitude wasn't like the natural man. And see, the first thing we have to do is come to the realization that just as Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for us, we being members of his body ought to possess the same unselfish attitude concerning the power of God. We ought to carry that same that selfless attitude concerning God's power. We ought to think that our thinking ought to be renewed towards the will of God in everything, like Paul said, in everywhere and everything. And that's including your sufferings. And we're all going to go through very troubling times in our lives. But we have to understand, we're not going to escape them. But when we do go through these things, let's allow the excellency of the power of God be put on display. And not so much look upon it as being of us. And all we have to do is look at what Paul said in those things that Paul went through in verse 8 through 10. Now let's come to verse 15 while you're here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 15. Paul says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, again, when Paul says, for all things are for your sakes, he's talking about your inner man. He's talking about the sake of your inner man and that what the inner man is going to possess, renewing doctrine where he is operating upon hope doctrine, that his faith is standing in the idea that he knows that he's appointed onto sufferings, that these sufferings that we face in this present time is something that all mankind is going to go through. But we have to operate upon a different, of a hope doctrine, a renewed way of thinking. We have to have an inward man way of viewing things. And how that is knowing that, as Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. See, when we look at the idea of the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, Paul compared the sufferings of this present time, and he viewed those as light affliction. Because when you compare them, you know when Paul says they're not worthy. When something's worthy, you look at its worth. You look at its worth comparing it to something else. And Paul said that what we're going to get, there's no comparing to the glory which shall be revealed in us. And Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 15 through 18, that he says that the natural man would have reason to faint. In verse 6, he says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. See, if we operate upon the outward man like this world does, the outward man would faint concerning the sufferings of this present time. But your inward man is the man that God can use today, and that's the one he's going to utilize in heavenly places. And you need to have a renewed way of thinking that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And you see, he used the word exceeding. It's exceeding anything that can be compared. And when you look at this eternal weight, when you look at something and you use it in a term of weight, that's a measure. That's something that you're looking upon in abundance. And there's no comparing that exceeding and eternal weight of glory to the sufferings of this present time. And Paul tells you, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. Because when you're operating upon the hope doctrine, you're hoping for that you do not see. And when we looked at the past weeks about how you can view that as some that when a child he looks upon when he's getting some gifts Christmas morning or something like that, before that anticipation, just waiting for that he see not, that hope. He's hoping for something with a zealous a way of thinking. He has a zealous thinking about what he's going to get. And we do that all the time. And this is what Paul is explaining, how we ought to view the sufferings of this present time, because you're going to go through them whether you want to or not. But it's your way of thinking, your renewed way of thinking, is what God has designed that you have and you possess in your inner man, so that he can be comforted and receive that consolation, that consoling a doctrine where he can have that salvation to to be delivered, his inner man being delivered, not the outer man, from what we go through in this present time here. And it's looking through the things through the eyes of our inward man, not the eyes of our outer man. Because our outer man is going to look upon the things around us and want to cave in, want to throw in the towel. But our inward man, as Paul says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. And again, most would be distressed. But we have eternal reward benefit that we can't see through the outward man eyes, but it's actually real. And we're supposed to understand the eternal value that we possess, that it has. And we're supposed to look at these things through the inward man eyes, and then you can understand the sufferings of this present time the way God intends you to. Well, with that, I'm going to close. And again, the next few weeks, we're going to be going over the doctrine of how we're to look upon suffering and death when it comes to ourselves or our loved ones. Because this is something that Paul is going to get to when he comes down to verses 22, Romans chapter 8, verses 22. He's going to begin to talk about the groaning and pain together until now. And these are things that we're going to come to understand. But next week, we're going to continue the issue here on knowing God as the God of all comfort and having that way of thinking where we are to know that we're not to be high-minded and think that that the sufferings of this present time should escape us, that we're better than that to have sufferings come onto us, that we'd be afflicted. But we're to know that we're appointed thereunto. And again, with that, I'm going to close here, and I'm going to open things up for the Q&A session. And if anyone has a comment or question, please feel free to press *61. *61 will get you. *61 will get you into the queue. And again, this is very vital in understanding the sufferings of this present time as a son and daughter in Christ. Because we ought to have that inward man spectacles on, because the outward man is going to desire something else. He's going to desire what this world has to offer. And this world has to offer different doctrine. It'll give him doctrine to tell him, well, these things you're going through is because you did something wrong. You have unforgiven sin in your life, or it's a test, or what is God doing today? He has a plan, and I don't know what it is, but it's a plan to center it around you being great, you not suffering. That's not what we're taught, though. We're told that we are going to go through these things, and the sufferings of Christ is a gift to suffer, because you're allowing God's word to work effectually within you. The same way Paul used the doctrine, you also can use it in that same capacity. You don't have anything any different than the Thessalonians possessed. You don't have any doctrine different from what the Philippians or Timothy possessed. You have the same doctrine to operate upon as a son and daughter in Christ that Paul himself operated upon when he was in the Mannheim prison of Rome, writing these same epistles, saying that he was rejoicing in this doctrine. It was the living word, a living God living within him to work effectually within him when he went through the things he went through. And this is what this is about, us learning. As Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am in to be therewith content. And that's what we ought to possess. I'm going to go to the first caller here, 3366, you're in the queue.
How you doing, Ron?
How are you doing? Pretty good. How are you doing there, my friend?
Yeah, great. Yourself, just wanted to comment on your son and daughter's teaching of Christ. But just a quick question, and even in Jesus Christ's earthly ministry, on his down on earth, he had to learn some things also, and the same as Paul had to learn things, you know, in his suffering time. Is that true?
Yeah. Well, the things that you said, the things that Jesus Christ suffered, is the same things Paul suffered?
Yes. I mean, in the earthly ministry, he had to humble himself even into the cross, so he had to do some things, too, also in his earthly ministry, too. Did he?
Well, yeah. Yeah, Paul in his earthly ministry, Paul suffered, like Paul says, he suffered more than they all. He was speaking of the apostles, the other
mm-hmm.
apostles in Christ. But Jesus Christ, yeah, what Jesus suffered, he suffered something no man suffered. He suffered being alienated from the Father on that cross. And the things he suffered, the horror he suffered looking into that cup and things of that nature as that son who had no sin. But Paul himself also, Paul went through the things that, you know, no man today is going to go through the things that Paul suffered.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul wants us to understand that even though our light affliction, and that's what we are to look upon it as, we're to have a renewed way of thinking that the things we're going through, it should be compared as light or counted. When Paul says he compared it, meaning he counted those things. He compared it to say, I know I'm going through this and it's greater than anyone I know is going through this, but this is light affliction. I'm going to spend trillions and trillions of years in heavenly places working with my Father in his business. So it's a renewed way of thinking that we ought to have as sons and daughters in Christ, understanding the adoption of sons that and what that entails. You know?
So that chapter, around the chapter 12, verse 2 of renewing your mind, that we have to do as sons and daughters today is to renew our mind and have the way of thinking of as Paul did. And also Christ, Paul through Christ, then you're renewing our mind. Because when we're down here on the earth, it's down here temporarily anyway. It's not our home anyway. So the suffering we're going to be doing down here is a light of affliction and all the glory of prayer we're going to have up in heaven.
That's right. I mean, we're here 70, 80 years, just say 90 years.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't compare. It can just, if you compare that with the life you're going to live in heavenly places.
Mm-hmm.
When we get to heavenly places, we're gonna wonder, why do we glory in the things of this world? Why do we place our faith in that doctrine that the outer man, which is perishing, is going to be delivered?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll look at the thinking of that as, how can we have that type of thinking, knowing it's never been about our outer man? It's always mm-hmm. been about your inner man. That's our hope. That's having that hope doctrine that we're to possess.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you and praise God for your excellent teaching on the sons of God and growing so much in this ship. And I sure appreciate you, Ron, and you have a justified rest of the week.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you as always. And I thank you for your comment and you know, and things like that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. And again, *61 will get you into the queue. It's the type of thinking we ought to have while we're looking at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. And what's the hope for that we see not? As Romans 8:24 talks about, that we're saved by hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. What a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? When he says saved by hope, you're justified by hope. You know that you're justified. You trust in that. You're to also trust that this doctrine is going to work for you. And there's salvation in that hope when you're hoping for that you see not. And that's what we ought to place our faith in and trust in. Well, with that, I'm going to close. And